because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the main reason he came, was for the preaching of the gospel. But that's not all. Notice the second thing. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Notice after verse 18, where he talks about preaching the gospel to the poor, almost everything else he does in this verse has to deal with those that are suffering. He heals the brokenhearted. That's a person who's suffering a broken heart. He preaches deliverance to the captives. That's the person who has the addictions. And they're captives, they're slaves to some vice. Recovery of the sight to the blind. Of course, there's literally blind people. There's also those that are spiritually blind and lack wisdom. Liberty them that are bruised. That's those people who have been abused in their lives. Perhaps some of you have been abused. Maybe you've grown up in an abusive home or relationship or something, maybe even unspeakable has happened to you. Jesus came to set at liberty them that are bruised, so that you do not have to be a prisoner to your past. You can be set free. And so much of what Jesus focuses on after the gospel in verse 18 is to help those that are suffering. To help those that are suffering. And the title of the message this evening is simply this: what to do when suffering. What to do when suffering. C.S. Lewis once said this. He said, pain is God's megaphone to arouse a slumbering world. Pain is God's megaphone to arouse a slumbering world. It's often times where some kind of pain, and pain comes into our lives in so many different forms that I might not mention tonight your form of pain, but the Holy Spirit will speak to you, I'm sure. I was noticing in the newspaper today about the horrific events in Buffalo this week, and this couple came to Buffalo to celebrate their one-year anniversary, and the groom was shot and killed, and four people were shot and killed down in Buffalo, and four others were shot and wounded, and I couldn't help but notice as I was reading the front page of the news today about this, their request for people to pray for them. And it's just the nature and tendency of man that so oftentimes it takes a tragedy, it takes a sorrow, it takes some pain for us to realize there are events in our lives that are greater than ourselves. And we must turn to the Lord. And I'm not saying that God ordained those events. Those were sad events, and there were things involved that I don't think people should be involved in and so on, but nevertheless it happened, and these are very real people, very real hurts. And they've come to the realization through this. Maybe they weren't thinking about it a few hours before, but now they are. We need the Lord. We need people to pray for us. Pain comes into our lives in many different forms. The pain of a death of a close loved one, for example. I remember in our family, my dad, on December 18th, 1961, I remember him taking us upstairs in a house at 4005 North Buffalo Road. They've mowed the house down, but I remember vividly him sitting. I remember this, I was only 4 years of age at the time, and almost turning five, and I remember the window there. I remember the chair against the window. I remember him gathering me and my two older brothers around. I remember him just losing his composure, totally breaking down, and telling us that our mother had just died of cancer. And how it just completely hurled our family into years of just troubles. And my dad was not a saved man. He didn't know the Lord. He turned to alcohol, and people have to cope somehow. And my dad went to pieces right in front of my eyes. And I kind of lost him for a while as we got bounced back and forth between our grandparents' houses. And we were living with foster children, and dad was struggling with alcohol. But to make a long story short, 7 years later, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And I know from experience that that's when the healing started in our family. Jesus can heal. And he was so concerned about us. We were going to a very, very liberal Protestant church at the time, but he knew, he became concerned for the souls of his three boys. And 1 year later, he finally found a Bible preaching church where he took us into, and my brother George and Dave and I all got saved and trusted Christ as our Savior. And it was all because of Jesus Christ, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who began to heal in our family. And God began to miraculously convert my dad right in front of my eyes, and he began to study the Bible, and my older brother began to study the Bible. My middle-aged brother began to study the Bible, and now my dad is a pastor. After years, he had become the president of the city mission in Buffalo. And my dad was the president when they built the new building over there that they're currently meeting, and he's a pastor now. My older brother George is a pastor in Worcester, Massachusetts, and my brother Dave's involved in his church, and I became a pastor, and it was all because of some of the good things that came out of suffering that probably would not have come out any other way. And the good Lord is going to work on us. He not only saves our souls, but he begins to work on us to make us more like his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, he has predestinated us to become conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he picks up different tools and he works on us. Sometimes he uses preaching, sometimes teaching, sometimes personal Bible study. Sometimes it's our prayer life that makes us more like Christ. And sometimes it's evangelizing that makes us more like Christ. Sometimes it's serving in the church that makes us more like Christ. But once in a while, God picks up the tool of suffering and begins to work on us with the tool of suffering to make us more like the Lord. And there's some times where we can resist that. And we do not cooperate, and we do not know how to handle suffering when it comes into our life. It could be the pain of a death of a close loved one. It could be the pain of a divorce or a failed relationship. We just sang a song earlier, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus," written by Charles Weigel after his wife left him. His wife divorced him. And he said, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Others forsake us and human love fails us, but God's love is an unfailing love. It could be the physical pain that we have in our bodies from an accident or a disease that we have contracted. It could be the pain of rejection. It could be the pain of a business loss or a setback, a loss of a job. It could be the pain of loneliness that is very, very real to those of you maybe that are widows and widowers or single people. It could be persecution you're going through at work because you're a believer in the Lord. But there's all kinds of suffering that's in our life, and these pains can really hurt us. I think sometimes of the pain of disappointment of someone you once looked up to. There's been times in my life where I've looked up to somebody as almost they were larger than life, sometimes pastors, and to see them fall. Very real suffering. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." When you have expectations and those expectations are deferred, it makes your heart sick. But Jesus came to heal the heart. These pains are very real. And to go up to somebody and just say something like, "Oh, just get over it," that doesn't work sometimes. And so as believers, God has given us some things we can do, and the sooner we know these things and the sooner we begin to do them as we go into suffering, I think it will help us often to be able to cope with our suffering better than others. And there are others who just that's the end of their progress. They stop at suffering rather than continuing to walk on with the Lord through it. So I want to give you these seven things here, and you can write them down or just get the tract or whatever, and maybe you can carry this. I carry these around with me everywhere I go because I'm always meeting suffering people. And I give them to them. Now, this first one sounds absurd. But here's a few suggestions from a biblical view on what we can do when we're suffering as believers in Jesus Christ. And number one is give thanks to God.
Amen.
Give thanks to God. I think the greatest medicine, almost the greatest medicine for our souls is thanksgiving. It does sound absurd, but if we begin each trial with a prayer and with thanking God for this suffering, we often change immediately our focus from the negative to the positive. We end up going into it as a learning, with a learning spirit and our eyes wide open as to what God is trying to accomplish in our lives. You know, the Bible says over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5 and verse number 20, it says these words, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice in this verse we're supposed to give thanks to God for things. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18, it says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And oftentimes, I personally find it very easy to give thanks to God for something, but a lot harder to thank God in something. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, why in the world would we give thanks when we're going into suffering? Because Romans 8:28 promises, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. See, if we love God and we're called according to His purpose, we have then a promise that this is going to bring about something good in our lives. All things work together for good. Even suffering. Something good is going to come out of it. You know, I'm 53 years of age now. I wouldn't have said it back then, but I would not have wanted to order my life any other way than God ordered it. That heart-wrenching image of my dad going to pieces in front of my eyes and our family being totally shattered through that, but then my dad seeking and finding Christ, and then Concern Force Boys, and he brought us to Christ. And then the fact that God would prepare me to be a pastor, I still don't understand that. But it just kind of helps you have a little bit more feeling for people. When you've suffered. When you've suffered. Those things brought about my salvation. The salvation of my soul. It may never have happened. We need to give thanks to God. First thing, usually our flesh, the first thing is to complain. Why me? But we need to thank God. And then I want to say number two, for comfort, immediately begin reading the Psalms of the Old Testament. Number two, for comfort, immediately start reading the Psalms of the Old Testament. Through different men, God wrote a book called the Book of Psalms. And He put them in the Bible. There's 150 of them. So many of these were often born out of suffering. Born out of trials. The old sage Job said in Job 35 and verse 10 that God giveth songs in the night. Songs in the night. And brethren, some of the greatest songs that have ever been written in Christian history. I've been a student of hymnology for a long time. I got books in my office. I read them constantly. You wouldn't believe the wonderful songs that we sing, and we just kind of sing them by memory. But when you read about the story behind the songs, It cost some of these people almost everything to have that song birthed in their heart by the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, Charles Weigel was a successful evangelist whose mother, or his wife finally said, "I'm sick of this. I'm sick of living with nothing." And she was going around with his meetings, and they were seeing people saved and saints edified and so on and so forth, but she wanted the things of this world. And she said, "I'm leaving you." And he begged and he pleaded with her not to go and tried to save his marriage, but she said, "No, I don't want anything to do with it." And she left and broke his heart. But you know, they say for the rest of his life he was a better preacher because he had a broken heart. And he wrote that song we sang earlier, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." Think of Joseph Scriven, whose house burned down and his wife and children perished in the fire. He wrote the great hymn, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go." H.G. Spafford, whose four daughters perished at sea. After his one son earlier died, he lost all five of his children. He wrote that great hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." What a powerful hymn. To this day, it just has a powerful effect on the congregation when they sing, it is well with my soul. God has given us songs. And you will find as you read the Psalms that you are not unique, that others have suffered in similar ways as you have. And I believe that one of the advantages that we have living towards the end of human history is that we have so many behind us who we can reflect upon, who have gone through the things that we will go through, and they've been able to make it by the grace of God. We not only have the Bible stories, but we have several thousand years of Christian history that tells us we can make it. Please read the Psalms. Read the Psalms. God will speak to us and we'll realize, hey, I'm not unique. This person went through this. This person went through this. God can help me. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." 1 Corinthians 10:13. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will at the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." God is faithful. And any testing, temptation that we go through is common to man. Common to man. Somebody else has gone through it. So read the Psalms. Read the Psalms. It'll bless your heart. And then for understanding, for comfort, read the Psalms. Number three, for understanding, read the book of 1 Peter. Read the book of 1 Peter. There is a book tucked away in our New Testament. It's only 5 chapters long. It talks about suffering. I forgot if it's 15 or 18 different ways where Peter manifests to us by the Holy Ghost of ways that we may have to suffer. And not only the suffering, but some understanding is attached to the suffering for us to learn. For instance, if you look at 1 Peter 4 and verse number 1, it says this, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." We see that suffering sanctifies. Suffering sanctifies. He hath ceased from sin. I don't believe that means he's sinlessly perfect, but I guarantee you somebody who is suffering in the flesh is not really thinking about the next party they want to go to, you know, or the next good time they want to have. They're having introspection. They're having contemplation. They're thinking about eternal things. There's a sanctifying work going on in them. How many times have you heard of people being on a bed in a hospital and making promises to God? "Lord, if you'll just get me out of here, I'll do such and such." And I've heard people who've kept those promises. that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That's understanding. He talks about the suffering in the flesh, verse 1, understanding why. So God could do a sanctifying work in us, so we could become more spiritual. A lot of times suffering causes us to become more spiritual people. We pray more. You know, these not always, but a lot of these young men in their 20s, and they're, you know, as fit as can be, and they're lifting weights down at the gym, and they can run 10 miles and swim another 8, and then I don't know what they do. I know a guy like that does these triathlons and so on and so forth. But not a lot of them thinking about the Lord. You ever notice that? No, but boy, then somebody gets a bad report from a doctor.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they realize, you know, we need God. We've got to have God. Where's the Lord? It's that megaphone. It wakes up a slumbering world. And he sanctifies that person. He says to that person, I have a claim on your life. You've been living for yourself before. You're not going to live for yourself anymore. You need to live unto me. And he does a sanctifying work through a suffering. Look at 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. What's that called? Understanding. He says, this is why you're suffering. God wants to make you perfect or complete. He wants to establish you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to settle you. And so he sends suffering. So you notice here in 1 Peter, we have not only suffering in so many different forms brought out, but also the reason why. The Bible has the answers. He says, I want to sanctify you through suffering. I want to establish you through suffering. I want to strengthen you through suffering. I want to settle you through suffering. Suffering will give you a whole new perspective on life. It'll give you a whole new feeling on life towards others. I was reading with interest the conversion of Jim Kelly recently, and I pray for him. I hope it's real. I hope it's real. But he'll tell you. He told you. He said it in the paper in a new book they wrote. He was a wild man. But then he had a son who got a disease, and his son died. Terrible thing. It breaks your heart to hear something like that. But he and his wife have come to know the Lord as their Savior through this. And we need to pray that, I'm sure he's a babe in Christ, but we need to pray that he'll grow in the Lord.
Yeah.
Become a good testimony for Jesus Christ. Do you see God in that? God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And sometimes he picks up that tool of suffering on somebody. He says, I'm going to use this for a while. And when you get through this, you're going to be sanctified, established, settled, strengthened. Read 1 Peter. Read the book of 1 Peter. What a great book. I remember going through it. It's all over these pages in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We talked this morning about our reckoning. Someday we're going to give an account to God. And God, in 1 Peter 1:7, when it comes to us standing before him, he's going to be concerned about the condition of our faith, not the condition of our finances. That the trial of your faith being more precious than gold. And yet, as Americans, we got to be careful, because we like to judge and rate everything by our finances. I got a nice car. I got a nice job. All my bills are paid up. Boy, God must be really blessing me. No, God might be really blessing the person who's lost everything but has become rich in faith. And is trying their faith to measures that have stretched them out beyond what they could think, just to show them how much he can show himself strong in their behalf. God wants my faith to be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Not my finances. I try to be a good steward with my money, but the condition of my faith is what he wants to bring out at the judgment day. Number four, plan on using it to help others when it comes to pass. Praise the Lord, it'll come to pass. Amen? Plan on using it. We're talking about suffering tonight. What to do with suffering? How can I handle suffering? Plan on using it to help others when it comes to pass. Listen to this. It says this about Jesus in Hebrews 2 and verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. The word succour is an old word. It means to help. In that he, Jesus, himself hath suffered, being tested, tempted, he is able to help them that are tested. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 10, the apostle Paul talked about that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his sufferings. You know, there are some things you cannot learn in a classroom in this Christian life. No matter how much preaching, you could have the best preachers and the best teachers in your church, and there are some things you can't learn in the classroom. It's like flying a plane. I mean, you can learn so much in a classroom, but man, when you get out there, there's going to be some other things that, hey, they never taught me this. Same thing in the Christian life. And suffering is a classroom God puts all of us in at different times and different classrooms. Your suffering may be totally different from mine. Yours is very real. Mine is very real. To you and to me. But God puts us in that classroom to teach us some things. But it's also preparatory. Everything God does is for a purpose, and it's preparatory so that we can minister to those who likewise suffer. Some girl who's 9 months pregnant, about ready to have a baby. I have no clue what she's going through. And I never will. She can say, will you pray for me? Sure, I'll pray for you. And I'll pray for her. All right, and I should. But you go up to some other lady who's had a baby, and they have a fellowship in that suffering. And she'll be able to pray beyond prayer into interceding for that dear lady as she goes through that suffering. I blew out my knee once playing flag football in the Army. And they had to come along with this stretcher and scrape me off the field, stick me in an ambulance, and take me off to the hospital. And I had to stumble around on crutches and have my knee drained all the time. It was swollen up and all. It was like the worst pain I'd ever felt in my life. You know something? If I do watch a football game or something, and I see a guy have a knee injury, that's what I can fellowship with him about. The pain he's suffering right then. So somebody who hasn't done that will say, guy looks like he's hurt. But those of you that have had something you've gone through, listen, I'm saying if you've gone through the pain of a divorce, you can help those that have gone through that pain. If you've gone through the death of a loved one, you can help somebody else. If you've gone through the loss of a job, you can help somebody else. And you just got to put your own application to this. In that Jesus suffered himself being tempted, he is able to succor to help those that are tempted. And he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so we can go to Jesus. There is one mediator between God and man. It says the man, Christ Jesus. Now, we know he's God. We know he's God. He's deity. But when he intercedes for us, he's man. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He can turn to the Father when we pray, and he can say, Father, I was there. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to be persecuted. I know what it's like to be tired. I know what it's like to have my father die, Joseph, somewhere along the line. I think he died. I know what it's like to have my mother called names, and I know what it's like to be brought up in a big family. I know what it's like to live in poverty. All points like as we are. I know what it's like to have to tangle with the devil for 40 days, and he never lets up. I know what they're going through, and as a man, he intercedes for us. He helps us. And brethren, one of the reasons we go through suffering is so we can help others. There was this dear lady over in Matthew 9, and for time's sake, we won't turn there, but she had a disease. And she was a Gentile. She had some faith. And she said, you know, I've been suffering this disease for 12 years, this issue of blood, and nobody's been able to help me. And she had the faith. She said, if I could just get to Jesus, I don't need him to tell me anything. I don't need him to talk to me. I don't need his attention. But if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I believe I'll be made whole. And so she got there and she touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus stopped everything, and he said, someone touched me. And Jesus said, or the disciples said, Lord, there's this crowd thronging you. Everybody's touching you. And he said, no, somebody touched me today in a very special way that nobody's touched me in a long time. He says, because virtue, power has gone out of me. And this woman thought she did something wrong, but he said to her, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Matthew chapter 9. Guess what happens by Matthew 14? Everyone's trying to touch the hem of Christ's garment. You know that? Everybody. Where'd they get that idea from? As many as touched him were made whole. You see, sometimes God puts us through suffering for our own benefits that we talked about, but also for the benefit of others watching us. It builds their faith when they have none. And they look at somebody whose faith is in Jesus Christ, and God brings them through, and they say, wow, God is enough. The Lord Jesus is enough. That's all that person needed was Christ. I think I'll trust Christ. And they follow our faith. Sometimes God puts you through suffering in your life, not so much for you, but for those who are watching you. And so plan on using it to help others when it comes to pass. We got to watch our spirit. We got to watch our attitude. We don't want to cop a complaining spirit during that time. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Why does he comfort us? So someday we can comfort others. And so God's put me through some things. God's put you through some things. Maybe you have a wayward son or a wayward daughter, and you can pray them back to the Lord. Because you're going to cross paths with somebody else in the church pretty soon who's got a wayward son or wayward daughter, and they're going to be losing hope. But you can help them. And a couple other things here quickly, and we'll close. Number 5, memorize 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. I'm just reading out of this leaflet here. Memorize 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. I want to encourage you to memorize Scripture. You know, when Jesus fought off the devil, he quoted Scripture. And when you or I are in suffering, we better have something to hold on to, greater than ourselves. We better hold on to the Scriptures. This verse says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We need to understand tonight that no suffering is forever. And that this life is the worst it will ever be for us who are saved. This life is the worst it'll ever be for us who are saved. For the lost, this life is the best it'll ever be for them, for all of eternity. Suffering is not forever. I'm so glad for the end of the book, aren't you? Praise the Lord. God, in His infinite wisdom, sticks a couple of chapters at the back about heaven. He says in chapter 21, verse 4, Revelation, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And I love the way he ends this. He says these words in verse number 5. Write, for these words are true and faithful. That's like me saying, I'm not lying to you.
That's right.
I am not lying to you. God doesn't have to say that because he never lies. But he says, what I just told you is faithful and true. There's coming a day there's not going to be any more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. Yeah. Former things are going to pass away. No suffering is forever. Get yourself some verses. No suffering is forever. Praise the Lord. Though we can't see it except by faith, much of this life has to do with the next life. For in 2 Timothy 2:12 it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. You see, we're so focused on this life. You know, if everything's comfortable and everybody's healthy, we got food and we got money, then God is good. No, God's good all the time. If we have nothing, if we go through what Job went through, and he lost his whole family, and he lost all of his business, and he lost his health, and he lost the companionship and support of his wife, God was still good. God never stops being good. He's good all the time. And so much of this life, only God sees it. He sees it so much better than us, but so much of this life has to do with the next life. Then I got to throw this one in there, number 6. I hate to even use this just as an afterthought because it's so important. But that is pray. Pray. Sometimes God just wants to hear from us, His creatures. He wants us to see our frailty and how much we need Him. Ask the Lord to help you through this time, to make you a better Christian. This may require some repentance and some deep soul searching. You know, good parents love to hear from their children. Do you know that? Good parents love to hear from their children. But God doesn't hear from some people for a long time. And sometimes He has to do something maybe to bring them back into His presence in prayer. Whoever wrote Psalm 119 said this in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. He said, I was astray. But then God afflicted me. Now I've kept His word. And he went on later and said in verse 71, is it good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes? It's good for me. Thank you, Lord, for afflicting me in your righteousness. Pray. God wants to hear from you. He loves to hear from his children. If you haven't talked to him in years, start now. Start now. And by the way, some prayer will take away the affliction. Some people suffer needlessly because they have not because they ask not. The Lord may want to be doing a miracle for you just to see his goodness, which leads us to repentance. And last of all, number 7, look for the Lord. Look for the Lord. There are what I call glimpses of God that you will never see except in the valley experiences of life. You'll never see them any other way. You can't learn it in a Bible college. You can't learn it sitting in church. There are some things God wants to show you about himself you will only see through suffering. Dr. Henry Morris once said this. He said, even a lifetime of testing is more than balanced by an eternity of blessing. When we get to the other side through Christ, there's nobody up there who's going to regret suffering when they were down here.
Yeah.
No one's going to regret it up there.
Amen.
These are some things to do when suffering for believers in Jesus Christ. And I don't believe suffering has to get the best of us, but it can make the best of us. You know, this might sound strange, but I have crossed paths with I could probably count them on one hand. The number of people I knew that I have met who knew God so intimately, they prayed for suffering. Very rare, but I've met some people who knew God, who knew how precious that tool of suffering was. And his eternal work on us, who actually prayed for suffering. While most of us pray, take this away, Lord. We prayed for it. Oh, that God would give all of us such spiritual perception about this precious subject, suffering. Give thanks to God. Read the Psalms. Read 1 Peter. Plan on using it to help others when God brings you through it. Memorize 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Pray. Get into God's presence. Don't get bitter at him. Don't get angry. Don't run. Run to God and pray. And look for the Lord, the fellowship of his sufferings. Look for the Lord. Look for a glimpse of him you'd never see any other way. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for our time tonight in your holy word. We thank you so much for your purposes. Lord, your ways are far above our ways. So high as the heaven is above the earth, so are your thoughts above our thoughts. Lord, we would do well if we could just somehow understand that you do pick up the tool of suffering on people of all ages, and you use it, Lord, to make us more like Christ. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, God in the flesh, who suffered so much like no one else ever did, so he could relate to us. Thank you for Paul and his suffering, and Peter and so many Bible characters, others through the ages, and how good things came out of the suffering. Joseph, Lord, give us some spiritual insight into this matter tonight, and help those tonight that are living on Easy Street to thank you for those seasons, but to also prepare for when inevitably their suffering will come. Just bless our time of invitation now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.